I don't necessarily do a good job, but I want you to listen carefully because I'm afraid on this issue, many of our brethren misunderstand what the issue is. And I looked at the questions Andy had for me, and I think there's a possibility he misunderstands what the question is. Right? We don't believe it's wrong for individual Christians to get together and eat together. We think that's a good thing. Some of us did that just a while ago before we came over here. That's not the issue. But let's listen real carefully. I may stumble and stammer. I may not do a good job of explaining it, but if you listen real carefully, maybe in the first speech at least we'll be able to understand what the issue is, even if you don't agree with me. Try to understand what we're saying. What is it we're against, and what is it we're not against, okay? Brian? First of all, the proposition that I'm trying to affirm tonight is the Scriptures do not authorize the spending of the church's money for congregational meals, recreational activities, or their facilities. The first point I'd like to make is that the use of the building is not authorized for social uses. Since the church building, a building owned by the church, was paid for with the congregation's money, then it should be used for what the congregation's money, what you collect on the first day of the week, the building should be used for the same thing that the money ought to be used for. For example, and raise it up some, Brian, if you turn to Philippians chapter 4, and this is just one of many examples I could have used to show that the church is to use its money, as it has opportunity, to preach the gospel. In this example, to support preachers who are preaching the gospel. It says in Philippians 4, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity." A clear example of a church sending to a preacher to help support him while he preached the gospel. That's one of the things that the church can use its treasury for. And so the building that's paid for with that money can be used to facilitate preaching the gospel. Within our judgment, if it facilitates that, then it is allowed. Another thing, if you turn to 1 Timothy 5, verse 16, which was discussed quite extensively on Friday and Saturday night, another thing the church can use its money for is a benevolent, helping needy Christians. It says, "If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it," talking about the church, "may relieve them that are widows indeed." Okay, so the church can use its money to help needy Christians. Therefore, the church could use its building to help needy Christians. And so if there was a meal at the building, we wouldn't necessarily be opposed to that. If the meal was being a meal provided for poor Christians, and that was the point of it, then that would be a good thing to use the church building for. But what we're opposed to is meals just for social uses. You follow what I'm saying? For social reasons, because that's not a work of the church. Another thing that the Bible clearly teaches that the church can use its building for is found in a passage like Hebrews 10, verse 25. The Bible reads, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The Bible authorizes the church to assemble. Not only authorizes, it commands it. And so since the Bible authorizes the church to do that, it could build a building or rent a building to facilitate that work of the church. These are the only three things I know about that the church is authorized to do. Now, some of you may be confused about the detail on the list, but preaching the gospel, that would be preaching the gospel to men or women or Christians or non-Christians. It wouldn't make any difference. Sometimes people like to list it edification of the church. I don't see any point in listing it separately since you're just preaching the gospel. But that doesn't really matter. Now, if he can find, Andy or anybody else can find a fourth thing up here the church is authorized to do, I won't rule that out. All you have to do is show a verse that shows a fourth or a fifth work of the church, and we're willing to accept it. No problem. In particular, tonight, Andy needs to show another work of the church where that work is social, coming together to eat socially, or recreational things like ball and stuff like that. Okay, that's what we're looking for tonight. The New Testament does not authorize using church money and facilities for social and recreational uses, like potluck dinners and gymnasiums. So where's the verse that backs up what I'm trying to say tonight? Raise it up, Brian. It's basically, Andy, Colossians 3:17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." That means don't do anything unless the Lord has told you to do it, unless the Lord authorizes it. And so we see some of the things that the Lord has authorized the church to do. And so that's what the church should be doing. If we can, Andy can show one verse that shows that the New Testament church is authorized to use its treasury for social reasons or recreational activities, then we'll be fine with his proposition that he's affirming tomorrow night, and we'll agree with his position, Brian. And so what the issue is not, I believe, unless anybody, so that nobody will be confused, I believe the congregation must eat the Lord's Supper together, collectively, as the church. I'm not, when I say I'm opposed to congregational meals, I don't mean that, okay? Proposition may not have all the details in it, or else it would have been a whole page long. I'm not opposed to the Lord's Supper, and you could call that a meal. I believe the Bible authorizes, as I mentioned before, the congregation to use the church building for a benevolent meal. And you could have a kitchen, a stove, and a refrigerator, and everything if you were using it to provide food for the poor, but not for social reasons. I believe it's a good thing for the individuals, Andy, of a congregation to get together for a meal to visit with one another as individuals, as long as they don't use facilities that are paid for with the church's money, as long as they're not doing it as the church, but just doing it as individuals. Not only do I feel it's authorized, I believe it's a good thing, and I encourage people to do that. Here's what the issue is, Andy. This is what we really need to listen to. So if we establish what the issue is to begin with, then I think the debate, the discussion, will be more profitable. I am opposed to the church assembly eating a common meal together because of 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34. I'm opposed to the church assembly. When the whole church is all together in one place, I don't believe they should eat a meal together like that, okay? Now, that would mean if they didn't have a church building. Even if they were just meeting under a tree, I would be opposed to that. If it's the church assembly, they ought not eat a common meal together. And what I mean by a common meal, not the Lord's Supper, but a meal done in order to satisfy your hunger, okay? I'm also opposed, and you could look at this a little bit differently. I do. It's for different reasons. I'm also opposed to the use of church funds, and therefore the church building, for social and recreational purposes. Colossians 3:17. It's not authorized. So even if we're not in the church assembly, okay, we should not use the church-owned building for these meals, because we can only use the church-owned building for things that the church is authorized to do with its treasury. And social meals don't come into that category. So let's study the Bible together to find out what it really teaches on this issue. First of all, let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, 22 through 34. I won't read the whole context, but I will read two pertinent verses in that chapter. In verse 22, I've entitled this chart, first of all, 1 Corinthians 11, 22 and 34, condemns congregational meals. This is Paul's solution to the problem of what was going on in Corinth. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. He begins, they have some sort of problem here, and the solution to the problem is he tells them, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? And then he concludes in verse 34, he says, if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. This passage is saying that eating done to satisfy hunger, verse 21, should be done at a time other than in the church assembly. Now this verse by itself wouldn't prove, at least it wouldn't to me, that the individuals couldn't come together in a church building to eat as individuals, okay? This only condemns the church assembly eating a common meal. I believe that it's wrong for the church building to be used for a common meal outside the church assembly for the other reason, because it's not authorized, okay? Two different things I'm talking about here, but they both come into play in this discussion, and for two different reasons. This verse condemns eating a common meal in the church assembly, period. The question of, could we just eat in the church building sometime when it's not the church assembly? Now, that wouldn't be right, because the church is not authorized to use its money for social and recreational things. And so since the church money is not authorized to be used for that, neither is the church building, since the church building is paid for with that money. Now, as Mr. Hutchison mentioned earlier today, I believe, he said, if you were meeting in a house, just someone's home, and you had the church assembly, we wouldn't eat the common meal there in the church assembly. But once the assembly's over, since we're in just somebody's house and the house is not paid for with the Lord's money, you could have a common meal there. It would be perfectly fine. We're not opposed to that. And so I would like to note before I lay that chart up, but in 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34, we have a record of a common meal, a church social meal. And I want you to note that the only time a church social meal is mentioned in the Bible, it is condemned. Now compare that to this idea of faith only. The only time that faith only, that phrase is in the Bible, the New Testament in particular, is in James 2:24 when it says that we're not saved by faith only. The only case I know of where a church social meal is mentioned is 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34, and there it is condemned. Now, here are some reasons I found in the Bible why the church could assemble or meet. They can assemble for worship, Acts 2:42, for preaching, Acts 11:26, for an evangelism report, Acts 14:27, to meet and talk about doctrinal problems, Acts 15:1-4. They can meet to arrange benevolence, as they did in Acts 6:1-6. They can meet for prayer, Acts 4:31, and they can meet to discuss or administer discipline, 1 Corinthians 5:4-5. I want you to notice, and this may not be a complete list, okay? Maybe we can add some more to this list, and that's up for anybody to do, Andy included. If you can add to this list, all you got to do is give a verse for it, and we'll accept it. But I want you to notice that the church only assembled for spiritual purposes. And so where is an approved record of the church meeting for social meal? I like that. We're not asking necessarily, though, just because I put it this way, we're not saying it has to be an example. No, that's not the only way the Bible teaches. It can be taught by example or any kind of statement that implies or directly teaches that they did this or that it was approved. We're not asking, we don't have to find it in so many words, the church ate a social meal together. But if you can show something that authorizes it, we'll accept it. Brian. Now, I want us to notice, before we move on, I want us to notice a few things that will help us understand some principles. We're going to start with some things, Andy, that you agree with. And the reason we do that is because if you can agree with these, then if we move on to some things that you disagree with, but it's the same principle, then we're hoping to help you see something. This is the same principle, therefore, if you can see this, why can't you see that? We're not discussing these things we agree with you on to waste time, but it's to help you see the principle we're talking about. For example, when you're talking about singing, the Bible says to sing, the essential, you need a song. An expedient, you wouldn't have to have it, but it's authorized, would be a songbook. You might have a song number. That's just a detail. When you're talking about baptism and immersion, an essential is water. Now, you could have a baptistry. You wouldn't have to. You know, many things are authorized that you don't have to have, but they're authorized. This is one. You don't have to have a baptistry, but it's authorized. You could have a towel. That's just a detail. The Bible commands us to assemble in Hebrews 10:25, so you necessarily need a place. You could have, though you wouldn't have to have, but you could have. It's authorized. You could have a church-owned building. And in that church-owned building, you could have a restroom because it's authorized, because it's inherent in the need to assemble. And you need a place, and the restroom is part of the place. A church support of a preacher. You might have a place for him to study in the church building. You might, an office, a phone, what have you. These are details that are authorized because you're supporting this preacher. That's authorized. Now, raise it up just a little bit, Brian. But Andy, now by the same principles, the things we've learned and agree with above that, let's look at this. A church social meal. I can't find a verse that authorizes that. I can find a verse for all of these, but I can't find a verse for that. Now, if you could find a verse for that, you would necessarily have to have a place, and then that would authorize a fellowship hall, as we normally use the term, as you guys normally use the term. That would authorize that because it would be inherent. You'd need that place in order to have the social meal inherent. So then you have church-sponsored recreation. Where's the verse for that? You need a place. Well, then you have a family life center, as your brethren like to call it, a gymnasium, and a basketball goal and a ball. Those things will be authorized if we can find a verse that shows that church-sponsored recreation is authorized, because these things would be authorized under that instruction. The church social meal and gym are not authorized. Now, you have the place for worship, the church building, whether you rent it or own it, is authorized because we have a command that the church should assemble. But these other two, they're not authorized. And then let's talk about or read a verse in John 2:13-17. Talking about Jesus in John 2, it says, "The Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And the way I entitled this chart was what Jesus thought about adulterating the spiritual. And so I ask at the bottom, is or are providing social meals at the church building doing the same thing as what these people were doing? Isn't that adulterating the gospel, the spiritual? When you turn the church building, and since it's paid for by the Lord, with the Lord's money, the church's money, and you're turning it into social things and recreational, isn't that adulterating what the Bible teaches we ought to be doing with that money? Just like what Jesus was teaching here when they were turning his house into a house of merchandise. Andy, the way I look at this, until you can prove otherwise, is that let's say a person gave $10 into the church's treasury, and he's thinking, well, I did what the Lord wanted me to. I gave $10. I suppose that's all he needed to give. He gave $10, but then he gets in the business meeting and the men all decide to use 9 out of those 10 for basketball goals and social meals. Well, how much is he really giving? Now, in his mind, he says, I've given 10, but really he only gave 1 to the Lord's cause. He's taken 9 back to use for things his family ought to be paying for, basketball goals and social meals. You see, it's just a way, I believe, these fellowship halls and gymnasiums, it's just a way to take back the Lord's money. We want to say we've given this much, and then we want to take back most of it and spend it on ourselves instead of preaching the gospel and helping the needy Christians. That's what it looks like you're doing to me. You're taking the Lord's money and spending it on yourself. And now as we have time, Brian, I want us to notice, because I think it's very important to understand the difference between the individual and the congregation. And this was very important in the debate on Friday and Saturday night also, and it could be in this debate. First of all, I want you to notice a quote. The one who made this quote is actually a fellow named Dan Jenkins, but I got it from a little magazine, and Gary Grizzell was quoting Dan. He agreed with Dan. Now, these are both institutional preachers, and here's what they say. Our God has limited the area in which the church can work. It is time that we clearly focus on two divine institutions, the home and the church. There is nothing wrong with Christians being involved in youth camps, sports activities, banquets, etc. There is nothing wrong with them using their money to accomplish anything that is not sinful. However, when money is given to the church, it becomes special, for then its use is limited to the areas in which the church is authorized to work. Now, I agree with that 100%, and that's some institutional, your preacher saying that, Andy. Do you agree with that? Once it's given to the church, it's limited to the areas in which the church is authorized to work. And they give a passage to prove this. Consider Acts 5 and the money of Ananias and Sapphira. And they quote verse 4 of Acts 5. Peter said to them, whilst it remains, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? You see, while before they gave the money to the church treasury, it was their money. But once it's put into the church treasury, it's different. It's not to be used for their individual whims and wishes. The answer is obvious. Before it was given to the church, it was under the power or authority of those who had it. But after it was given, it was under the authority of the church. It has to be used for what the Lord authorizes the church to do with its money. There is individual activity, there is home activity, and there is church activity. Now, that's a quote from your brethren, Andy, that I agree with. Now, I want to add to their proof. I believe they proved it with Acts 5, verse 4. But since it's so important, I want to take the time to give some other passages that show the distinction in the individual and the congregation. For example, in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, Jesus said, Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Now here they're supposed to go to the individual, and then if he won't hear, if he won't repent, you go to two or three more. Well, those are Christians. Is that the church? Because it's Christians? No. He says, verse 17, And if he shall neglect to hear them, that is, you and the two or three more, tell it to the church. So just because you have some individual Christians doesn't mean it's the church. The third step is tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. You withdraw from him. And then in 1 Timothy 5:16, a verse that was dealt with extensively in the last discussion 2 nights ago, If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Now, Amy, I think you might have missed the point based upon some things you said the other night. Here is a particular widow we have in mind, and she has some children or nephews or whatever that are available to take care of her. We'll call that widow Betty. Now, the Bible is instructing that these individuals who have responsibility for her, for example, her children, should take care of her, that the church be not charged. So in that particular situation, Paul is saying that the individuals must take care of and the church is not to. And so we should be able to see clearly that the individual and the church have different responsibilities. Because one is supposed to take care of Betty and the other is not. True enough, both of them do benevolent work. We're not saying that. Individuals and churches are supposed to do benevolent work. But in this case, this particular widow, the individuals are to take care of her, but the congregation where she's a member at is not supposed to. That shows there's a difference in the work of the individual and the congregation. And I asked Andy a question. I said, if the New Testament authorizes an individual Christian to do something, does that necessarily mean the congregation is also authorized to do that same thing? He says it depends upon the circumstance. In other words, no. So I think he sees this point. Thank you very much.